Mr. Drake, Rail 9. We're talking about the Sergeant's Mess, Mr. Drake, and activities that went
well,
on
it
there.
It wasn't the Sergeant's Mess as the general public think about it, whether they go and enjoy themselves or anything like that. It was just a mess where you went and had your meals. And after that, that was it. But I don't recall it having a bar in, because at night time, we used to go down to the local pub and have a drink. And CSM Gates always wanted to come with me for some unknown reason. And that's what I say, he got very friendly when we did Gates. But we used to go down to the local pub in Rye and probably play darts and just have an odd drink and probably have a whiskey and lemonade and half a pint or something like that. But I was never a drinker. It wasn't anything I was really interested in. And it was only, I used to just sip, I used to drink it like you drink a cup of tea or anything like that. It was just a matter of being with the lads, having a drink and a cigarette and enjoying yourself off duty, as it were.
What about your fellow sergeants? Were any of them kind of heavy drinkers?
No, I don't recall anybody being really heavy drinkers at all. None of them seemed to. I mean, some of them liked a pint, and once they had the pint, that was it, you know. But you never saw anybody get worse for drink.
What about gambling? Other veterans have talked about
gambling. Ah, gambling? No, that was a different matter altogether. I reckon you didn't mention that. That was one of the big pastimes at night time when you weren't going out down to the pub, which you didn't do. It was mostly weekends that you went down to the pub. So at night time you used to get the cards out and it was always three card brag. And I was always a stickler on that one. I always used to I'd come out winning before the night went out. I could brag them all night. And there'd be some good hands out. I always remember one. And it was one I was sweating on as well. Because we'd been paid on Friday. And of course, Friday night was always the card night. So we all got together, the lads, and they started off with a big school. And as they got emptied, the school got smaller and smaller. And there was about five of us left in. And we got the money between us, all right, so we used to put in so much psych each time, and they used to start bragging. And I wouldn't look at my cards, I'd wait while three or four got bragging, three of them got bragging first. I'd know how strong they were when the otherwise. That pull out if they haven't got much, if they'll try to fool everybody and keep on bragging as if they've got something when they haven't got anything, you see. But I know if I let them go two or three times, they were paying twice as much as what I were paying, or I'll still keep in, you know. And they looked around, and one of the best hands I ever saw, there were five of us. One had got a flush, that was queen down in hearts, that was a flush. One had got a running flush, that was, say, king, queen, jack, 10, 9, 8, a running flush. Another one had got three aces. another, what they've got, another three. And I looked at mine, one, and I looked at another one, and two threes. I thought, God, I'll have a break on this. So they went round, they're all bragging. Ooh, I thought I'd better have a look at this one, and I pulled it up, and there were another three. Oh, I couldn't believe it. Well, that's all I've got. So if that's all we've got, we put the money, we put the cards and the money in that pile. So whatever, and they left the cards down, so nobody could see them. Then another one dropped out, he'd no money to brag with. Then a third one dropped out, and there were just two of us left. It was to keep bragging. To keep bragging. And he says, well, that's my lot, Sergeant. I says, I'll be gather. He says, hey, he says, yes, I'm sorry, lad. Three threes. That was top, right? Three threes. That was top, then three aces, and then three kings. So there were three. With a three hand, the same kind. There was two with one with a run, the five altogether, and one had got a flush. So flush what with it would have taken the hand, it was no good at all. It was lasting a lot. So I stood up a lot. Anyway, I decided that was money. I gave them all some back. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to buy any cigarettes or go into Nappy and have a wad.
So, it was quite possible for people to lose their entire pay on that Friday night?
Yeah, they would.
Did that ever happen to you?
No, it never happened to me. When I got on the boat, I skimped the boat.
Well, we'll get to that when we
get to that later.
You mentioned Sergeant Lucas being kind of a religious kind of frame of mind. Could you, looking at your fellow sergeants, could you put them into certain categories of
A Sergeant Lucas was a very religious man. I mean, I'd been brought up in the Wesleyan group, went to the Wesleyan church when I was a lad and even went into the choir. And because my mother always insisted that we went to church, especially on a Sunday. So I knew what he was all on about, but they didn't do a lot of religion in the army, although they had church parades. Nobody ever seemed to discuss religion so much, which I suppose in a way it was a good thing, because you can soon get into arguments with different religions. So it was a good thing in this way. And funny enough, we never talked politics in the army much. Very little politics was ever discussed. So if you kept off those two subjects, then you'd a pretty happy lot. There weren't any arguments about it all, you see. So I suppose, in a way, it was just as well. But I always remember Sergeant Lucas because every morning he used to have his Bible out and always read a passage to himself, not to anybody else. He always used to read a passage to himself every day.
Now, you'd been, promoted from private up to sergeant. Mm-hmm. Was the food better as a sergeant? The pay was better?
The food was the same.
And when you were in like a card school, brag or whatever, would privates and so on, they would get involved?
They'd get involved.
Yeah. What about the officers? Would they ever?
Well, no, they did do on the boat, but they didn't do in ordinary, they wouldn't come into a card school.
They never had
a card school in the sergeant's mess, it was always among your own lots. sort of thing that sort of time. So you had young fellas whom you knew, and officers, the NCOs, the sergeant gun officers used to be in, and I used to be in, and one or two more. And when we used to go down to the pub, we used to play the locals at darts, and I was always a good darter, so I was one they used to go down, and what they used to do was used to challenge the winners of the contests which were on. So we used to get some darts, and right, we'll challenge the winners. So very often we could be on the dartboard all night if you won. So I was a good thrower. I'd done a bit of practicing at darts, and I was a good darter. I could always get the double, and used to start on a double and finish on a double. They don't do that nowadays. They start off straight away at 3 foot seven. 720, but we always used to start on a double and finish on a double. So I could always get the doubles, so it didn't matter what you started on, of course you had to finish on the double, which we always used to throw 301 up, whereas in proper darting school they go 501. But on average I was a very good darter on that level. So,
was that your main contact with the locals? Would be in
that
the pub.
My main contact with locals were in club pub on dartboard.
So how did you get on with them? The battalions
of all. Very well. They were always pleased to buy us a drink. Who could just play for drinks? If you won, they bought you a drink.
Now,
drink much. So there were always plenty of hangers on when they knew I was going down the pub, because they know that.
Now, while you were in the kind of Rye area, you were on the big scheme that we've talked about. Did you have much contact with the other troops in the brigade and in the division?
We hadn't a lot. We I don't recall seeing much enemy at all. We did took up different positions which you had to, and we did capture one lot of the enemy at one particular time, so we did get mentioned in dispatches of like just like you did in real battle. You got mentioned because you'd done your job well, and
who had you captured? Can you remember who they were?
A certain amount of the enemy, which we happened to do with the Calibre.
Can you remember who they were?
No, I don't remember who they were.
Now, it was apparently, when you're in the Rye area, there was a lot of Canadians based in the, you know, in that area as well. No. Do you have any contact with the Canadians?
No, I've never had any contact with the Canadians. The, there was one lad, a big lad, Irish lad what was with us. I don't recall him going abroad, but he was well known for getting into fights, and whoever he was in fight with came off worse. So he could handle himself very, very well, and he got himself in trouble one bit when we were at Folkestone. There'd been a brawl at one of the pubs after they'd come out, and It smashed somebody open. It was a foreign troop. So, although you were on CO's orders, the CO were sort of really pleased that they got somebody who could uphold the regiment type of thing. You see, we beat them up. These probably they were Canadians. I don't know, but they were. They weren't British troops, there were some other troops who were in the area, so it would be Canadians. Anyway, they'd come off worse and complained. One of our lads had beat them up, and, well, this Irish lad.
Now, you mentioned, I think off the tape, that you got involved in cricket for the battalion around about this time.
Yeah, well, as I said, mentioned earlier, the captain of Yorkshire was in charge of the ACAC, which was stationed just outside. It was Captain Barnes, became Major Barnes afterwards. Captain Barnes, he used to play for Norwich County and Cambridge. He was a good cricketer. There was CSM Galatly, he always used to play. I used to play. They picked a team, and it was a fairly good team. I'd always been an opening bat, so I always used to open and take the strike. And we used to play the RAF, and then we'd play some other team from somewhere else to get. We didn't play a lot of matches, but we were fairly successful. I don't recall losing a match. No, we were fairly successful because we'd won a couple of good players.
And what did Captain Balance, what was his?
He was very good. He was a very good left-arm bowler. And, of course, his off-spins were leg breaks, and he could bowl round the legs and knock the wickets down.
And what about Golightly? Golightly,
he was more or less in the field. He used to be one who enjoyed it, you know, and were keen wherever he was. Whether it's fielding in the slits, outfield, or anywhere, he was one who enjoyed playing cricket. I don't recall a lot of the others who I knew very well who played, but there was quite we had a good team. I mean, there were quite a good number of players. I don't even remember who I used to open with.
And this would have been the summer of 42, probably, would
yes,
it? Yes. About that time.
Yes.
And so when you played the RAF, you would, I imagine, you would go to a specific base or something.
Yeah,
and
well,
would be
at Rye, there was a very good cricket ground there. Morris Tate, one of the old cricketers, it used to be his ground, the owner said, at Rye. Morris Tate learned all his cricket at Rye. So they had a good ground there. So it was Andy, they used to come to that particular venue for a cricket match. But it would be a limited over match sort of thing. It wouldn't be a full day. No, it would be a limited over, an afternoon and night, and tea time and after tea. It wouldn't be one of these two or three innings jobs. It would be a limited over.
So who would be captain of the team? Would that be Balance, I suppose?
I think it was Captain Balance. He was, I suppose, the most experienced cricketer who was there.
Were there any other sports that you could have got involved with the battalion at this time?
No, I don't remember any football or any other sport, not hockey or any of them. No. I don't recall, I only remember the cricket. And there are two or three nice good games of cricket.
While you were at Rye, apparently other veterans have talked about an exercise where you turned night into day, you got up at midnight and slept during the day and so on. Do you remember anything about that?
Not a lot of. We had night manoeuvres whereby we were issued with watches which used to put a torch on before we went out, so as we could read the time when we was out in the woods or wherever we were going. There were different night approaches to different areas, and now the way you approached it, and how silent you could be by getting to this different place where you had to go, because there'd be somebody there who would know how near you got before they recognise you're there. So it's specific targets to set for you, and you have to get them on a certain time and get there without being recognised.
And that was still with the carriers at night?
Yes, oh yes, you all got those particular duties.
Now, you
meant take your carriers, of course, and that sort of thing, because they'd be making too much noise.
So you were trained to move in the carriers, but then to, like, to dismount from them and on foot, so...
At night time, if you had to make any approaches, you had to learn how to do that.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you began to get radios for the carriers around about this time.
They were starting to issue with the headphones, which had a throat thing, throat things which fitted onto your throat, and the headphones and the ears, and this thing fitted onto you. Just rested on front there, and you could talk and then switch over. And you'd get this answer back, you see, you could talk, but it was a two-way thing.
And would you be in communication with, like, battalion headquarters on the radio?
No, it was only for us within a certain area, your own particular one. There were only short-wave things, you know. If you got out of a certain length, they couldn't hear you, so... You'd lost them. You had to keep them in a certain area. They hadn't improved them to make them over a very big, long distance.
Would you still have the equivalent of a runner then? Would you have a runner within the carrier?
Oh, yes, you'd always got a runner.
And he would be on foot if everything else fails?
Yes, you'd always got a runner.
Right, Mr. Drake, so you were saying that you'd have a runner and you'd also have a dispatch rider as well within the carrier platoon.
If you're with the carriers, you have a dispatch rider, because if you're on foot, and the carriers were behind, you left the carriers, or the carriers was in depot, then you had a runner to run to the battalion headquarters and get to know what you had to do and what you hadn't to do.
I think earlier you mentioned that your carriers would be organised in groups of three. Is that true?
Yeah.
Would they be like would they be the equivalent of an infantry section?
That's right. Yes, you've got a section of
And as carrier sergeant, obviously, you would have a driver and rifle.
A Bren gunner and a rifleman.
And you would be carrying a rifle then at this stage?
Yeah, or a Bren gun.
Or the Bren gun, yeah.
Be carrying a rifle.
Now, you mentioned the battle school and so.
I'd be driving one or two.
So you'd still be able to drive the thing?
Oh, yes.
And that would be your choice?
Yeah,
what you wanted to do. Now, you mentioned the battle school, and had you been trained on the Thompson submachine gun? Had you gotten involved with that at all?
No, they didn't train you on the machine guns. You did that in your own battalion. All we trained on you was as field work in general, and it was approaching different lines and running up mountains, but you were always under fire, so you had to be watching what you were doing. There was always riflemen stationed in different places to throw a few bullets around to make you be aware that you could get hit if you didn't watch what you were doing.
Now, so. With regard to things like submachine guns and so on, had you encountered these in the battalion then at this point?
No.
So you had no contact with it?
Well, we got the guns and... joined any musicals or anything like that. One or two of the lads in the career street shows take part in any performance they want to put on for the local level. Sergeant Dates is one in particular that seems to be a sort of a comic for him. But apart from that, I wasn't particularly interested in just stand-up, usual comedy type, good jokes and little songs, and quite interesting to the truth, I suppose. He was from the Newcastle area. He was certainly a Geordie. He's always been to say for himself. No, it didn't affect any of our opportunities on any we seem to be the same compliment as we gradually evolved over the period of time as we've been living. No, I can't remember at all that it didn't happen. Well, anything you can pin on always has a certain amount of good effect on morale of the troops. And we did get these shoulder flashes in the event of the divisional side, which was the oak tree. And I thought we had them put them down to the table and have them put them on the hour after the hour. As usual, has been correct. I don't recall now, I don't recall how the vehicles were identified. Of course, they must have had a phone number or something similar. But I don't even recall the oak leaf or anything like that being put in them.
Now, talking about areas in
my area, yes, I heard. Yes, well, as you mentioned, this thing is being done in the coming at sea level, of course, they're very, very awkward for anybody to do anything about it unless you've a load of riflemen ready and they could fire the rifle. But otherwise, but we did have a Captain Battalion, I think it was a Captain Major Sellers that was in charge of it, but he was stationed just out of Rye, and I saw them myself, but I knew they were there. And of course, if any of the planes got to any height, they could at least have a go at them, but get us grounded to us. If they were so quick in and out, but it was very, very difficult. However, at one time, which of course, there was one plane came high and right in their capacity to do something about it, and the attack was going off and saw this plane. Anyway, they hit it and everybody was cheering, like, when it came down, it happened to be one of ours,